Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 4, Hiranyakasipu terrorizes the universe, text number 8. Devo jana sriyajustam adyaste sma tripistapam Mahendra Bhavanang Sakshan Nirmitang Vishwakarmana Trilokya Lakshmya Yatanam Adyusva Sak Hihardhimat. And purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki. Hiranyakasipu, who possessed all opulence, began residing in heaven with its famous Nandana garden, which is enjoyed by the demigods. In fact, he resided in the most opulent palace of Indra, the king of heaven. The palace had been directly constructed by the demigod architect Vishwakarma and was as beautifully made as if the goddess of fortune of the entire universe resided there. Purport. From this description, it appears that all the heavenly planets of the upper planetary system are thousands upon thousands of times more opulent than the lower planetary system in which we live. Vishwakarma, the famous heavenly architect, is known as the constructor of many wonderful buildings in the upper planets, where there are not only beautiful buildings but also many opulent gardens and parks, which are described as Nandana Devodhyana, gardens quite fit to be enjoyed by the demigods. This description of the upper planetary system and its opulences is to be understood from authoritative scriptures like the Vedic literatures. Telescopes and other imperfect instruments of scientists are inadequate for evaluating the upper planetary system, although such instruments are needed because the vision of the so-called scientists is imperfect, the instruments themselves are also imperfect. Therefore, the upper planets cannot be appraised by imperfect men using imperfect man-made instruments. Direct information received from the Vedic literature, however, is perfect. We therefore cannot accept the statements that there are no opulent residences on planets other than this earth. Srila Prabhupada, he wrote one book called Easy Journey to Other Planets. And he distributed this book to one man in New Delhi. Of course, this was before Prabhupada went to the West. And this man read the book, and a week later, he saw Srila Prabhupada, and he said, I read your book. Now, it appears like this book is saying that once we go to the spiritual world, we don't come back again to this material world. Is this correct? And Prabhupada said, yes, this is correct. He said, then I don't want to go. It's amazing, huh? Attached to this world. You hear about the glories of the spiritual world, and still there's an attachment to this Mrityuloka, the place of death. So many people, they want to go to the heavenly planets and drink the summer juice, and live with the beautiful residents there. Can't imagine how opulent the heavenly planets are. But it's stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Kshinye Punye Martyalokam Vishanti, that someone may be elevated to the heavenly planets, but once their pious results are used up, then they have to come down again. So, better to get out of this material world. Go to the spiritual world. This is the most opulent place. and may not have the material opulence that is in the heavenly planets, but we can conceive of the sweetness of the spiritual world, especially Goloka Vrindavan. So people who are in the mode of goodness, they can go up. Urdhva Mulama Dashaka. Those who are in the mode of goodness, they go up to the heavenly planets. Those in the mode of passion, they stay in this middle planetary system. Those in the mode of ignorance, they go down. So this is the situation in this world. So what we're trying to learn how to do is to become good souls so that we can go back to the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada, he mentions in one purport, he said, there are many good souls, but the main understanding of a good soul is that when he finds a good asset, some good quality, he magnifies that good quality. This is the sign of a good soul or a pure soul. And when he finds some nice asset, some quality, then he magnifies that quality. And a bad soul is someone where he finds some fault and he magnifies that fault. Yeah. Fault-finding tendency. So this is the tendency in the material world. It's like it's stated that one of the symptoms of a pure devotee is that he's free of the tendency to find fault in others. So you can see that this is such an all-encompassing thing throughout society is fault finding. So much so that the symptom of someone that's pure is that he's given this up. So it's not easy to become free of this tendency. And Hiranyakasipu, he was the supreme fault finder. He could even find fault in Lord Vishnu. Yeah. He could have envy of Lord Vishnu. So this is very unfortunate. Yeah. That there's so much envy, actually, of Lord Vishnu. So this chapter is called the Hiranyakasipu Terrorizes the Universe. So Hiranyakasipu, he was one of the first terrorists. Now there's so much thought of terrorists, you know, around the world. There's fear of terrorists. So he was like one of the grandest of all time. Huge. It's described here, he took over the heavenly planets. And he was actually conquered the whole universe, terrorizing people all over the universe. Can't imagine what a big terrorist this guy was. But then there's small terrorists. Actually, there's people that are terrorists without ever using weapons. There's people that mentally terrorize people. Mental terrorism. Just by dealings with one another, the envious dealings with one another. Srila Prabhupada, I was just reading in purport. Prabhupada said that in our Hare Krishna movement, that there are many envious people dressed with Vaishnava tilak, dhoti, kurta. He said such people should be completely neglected. Powerful statement by Prabhupada. So how do we know if someone is envious or not? Prabhupada explains the quality or the symptom of envy is that if someone is qualified to be in a position, but still someone will deride that person, this is envy. So if we see someone that's qualified in a particular position, then such a person should be respected and followed as well. So this envy is it's one of the main symptoms of the conditioned soul. But we can become free of this tendency by this process of sadhana bhakti. So it's very easy to be on this in this wrong mentality. because we're conditioned souls. But to develop the right mentality, this is the difficult thing. And this is, once we do develop this saintly mentality, then it's so auspicious. Because not only do we benefit by having this, but we can also benefit others. It's like nowadays people are very interested in pure things. You know, just like pure water. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry all over the world just to sell pure water. People want pure water, pure air. I'm sure some people leave Bombay just to live in a place where there's pure air. The air here is so bad. I know in Los Angeles, many people leave because the air is so bad. So people want to breathe pure air and drink pure water. So what we're trying to develop is a pure heart. So this is actually the most wonderful thing a person could achieve, a pure heart. But this is also the most difficult thing, but achievable. Just like so many wonderful devotees all over the world practicing this sadhana bhakti, and they're getting nice results. They're becoming purified. Just like here in Chaupati, they have the most wonderful website, ISKCON Desire Tree. So nice. Because there's about 10,000 different lectures or something like that. So many. So I'm always going in there and I'm hearing all these different lectures from so many saintly devotees. So I'm appreciating. This is the result of the purity of Srila Prabhupada. You know, that he can change so many hearts, make so many pure hearts by his own sincerity, of course, by the association of Krishna as well. And so the more we connect with this purity of Srila Prabhupada, with the purity of Krishna, then we also will develop this purity. Muchi hoy, suchi hoy, yadi Krishna bhaje. One may be born into a very dirty family. Muchi. Muchi means like dog eaters or something like this. Very muchi family. Even worse than that is people that take birth in a family of cow eaters. That's worse. That's not even mentioned in the Bhagavatam because it's just inconceivable. But that's much worse than a dog-eater family, because the cow is the mother. But if one takes to the process of devotional service, then, although born into such a muchi family, one becomes suchi. One becomes clean. This is the power of the process of devotional service. On the other hand, someone may be born into a very suchi family, a Brahmana family. Hiranyakasipu, he took birth in the family of Brahmanas, Ravana. They knew the scriptures, but they were muchi. They were muchi because they were not engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. So we want to again become suchi. We were all very clean at one point. You know, just all we had in our heart was the desire to serve Krishna. Somehow we've become muchi. So we want to become suchi again. Aho bata sva patitogri yajjivagre vartate namatubhyam. I think it's Devahuti. She says, how glorious are those persons upon whom the holy name of Krishna is being chanted. Even though born into a family of dog eaters, such persons are worshipable. They must have performed all types of austerity, bathed in the holy rivers, had all the good qualities of the Brahmanas to be now chanting the holy name of Krishna. So it's a great blessing to have this opportunity to become purified by this process of hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Pada Sevanam. Sometimes when I'm out preaching, I tell people that you know, the goal of life is to become a pure servant of God. And they say, well, how? How to serve God? People can't imagine. How do you serve God? So the best way to serve God is first of all, to hear. We hear about Krishna, we hear the glories of Krishna, then we want to act on that. Shrimbatam sva katha Krishna, punya shravana kirtana, hriyantasto hyavadvani, virunoti suhichitam. Beautiful verse. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the super soul in the hearts of all living entity, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who simply relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So simply by hearing the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is so pleased by that he cleanses the heart of the dirt, of the contamination, of all the nonsense in the heart. So it's not difficult. So then once one hears Shravanam Kirtanam, then one wants to repeat. So this is a preaching movement. We want to give this message out to others so they can benefit. And so many people are benefiting all over the world by book distribution, by Harinam, in so many ways. In Australia, in the early days, devotees were doing Harinam. And because it's a secular government, they did not allow. So they would get arrested. Daily they were getting arrested. So the devotees wrote Prabhupada, should we get a lawyer? Should we take them to court? Prabhupada said, no, you'll just waste money. Just go out and chant. Just chant, and if they arrest you, go to jail and chant. So they did this, and one time they went to the jail, and there was a bunch of devotees, so they were staying overnight, so they decided, well, let's do our program. At 4:30 in the morning, at 4 o'clock they woke up. At 4:30 they were all ready for Mangal Arati, and one devotee blew the conch shell, and another devotee was doing the Arati, he had incense, just like we know, the pastime of that devotee that was doing seva in the mind, right? So they were doing this artik in the mind. They had the incense going, and then they had the flame, the giwiks going, and he would offer them to the deities that were on the altar there. And they would, someone would take the flame and go around, and devotees would touch it to their head. And then they had the water, and somebody was throwing the water. And somebody was taking a flower around. Here, smell the flower. And they had Tulsi Puja and Guru Puja. They did the whole morning program in jail. And there was other prisoners in there, and they're thinking, whoa, this is getting very interesting. Very unusual. He's Hare Krishna. But Krishna, he was accepting it just as he was accepted on the altar. Probably even more. Because they're in prison and they're doing the whole morning program. Incredible devotion. So then after they had the Tulsi Puja, they started their japa, and then Guru Puja, they had a roaring kirtan in the jail. And after the roaring kirtan in jail, the wardens of the prison said, all right, you guys can go. Too much. So you let them all go. So Prabhupada had such faith in the holy name of Krishna. Just like when Prabhupada was getting his sannyas initiation, there was one person who was performing the ceremony. And there was one devotee there that was chanting japa kind of loud. He was very enthusiastic. He was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. So the person performing the ceremony told the devotee, easy, easy, softly, softly. So after a few minutes, then this person saw Prabhupada, and Prabhupada went, chant louder. So this devotee, I think it was Krishnadas Kaviraj, one of the, what was that one devotee that was always chanting? Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji, that was the devotee. So as soon as he saw Prabhupada go like this, he understood, this person is going to spread Krishna consciousness widely. So much, they had so much love, so much affection for each other. So Prabhupada had this great faith. He said, I don't know what the result will be from my going to the West preaching, but I know one thing. I have great faith in the holy name of Krishna. So this name of Krishna can purify our hearts completely of all the material contamination that may have arisen in our long sojourn in this material world. So Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. So from hearing and chanting, then comes remembrance. Smartavya Sadatang Vishnur Vishmartavyuna Jatuchit. Now there's so many instructions given to us throughout the Vedic literatures. You know, there's the Puranas, and there's the Srimad Bhagavatam, and there's Itihasas, so many Vedic literatures. But all the instructions of all the Vedic literatures are given in this one sloka. That one should always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. The most important instruction of all the Vedas. You know? Always remember Krishna. Don't forget Krishna. Yeah? And if we do so, then very, very auspicious. If one is in the heavenly planets and is not Krishna conscious, then it's actually hell. If one is in the hellish planets and is Krishna conscious, it's not only, it's greater than heaven. One is actually in the spiritual world. If you're in hell and you're completely Krishna conscious, you're not in the material world. You're in the spiritual world. Not of this world. It's like Jesus said, be in this world, but not of this world. So we have to somehow transcend this material world. Always absorb our mind in thought of Krishna. So Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam, worshipping the lotus feet of Krishna. So much worship is going on in this world. Just like movie stars and cricket players and fashion designers, so many people are being worshipped. But the result of this worship is that they have to continue on in the cycle of birth and death. But by worshipping the lotus feet of Krishna, by worshipping the devotees, that's even more pleasing. Mahat sevam dvaram ahorvi muktes. Tamo dvaram yositam sangi sangam. Mahantaste samachita prasanta vimanyava surda saravavye. That by serving the Mahatmas, the great souls, great service is done. And the door to the spiritual world is opened by this service to the Vaishnavas. You're very fortunate. You have such a pure Vaishnava residing here, Radhna Swami. I was just thinking the other day, it would be so nice if he could live for 1,000 years. Because he's doing so much. He's doing so much. He came here, what was it, 1984? Was it? 84? 86? Something like that. There was only 6 devotees or something like this. 8 devotees. Just a few devotees. And now, just 24 years later or so, now it's like, so huge. It's amazing. I just came from Pune. Such a nice center. Such enthusiasm. Amazing. And they got Belgium, and they have the farm here close by. So much is happening by the purity of one great saintly personality. So fortunate. We're all so fortunate to be able to have his association. So by this service to the pure devotee, we are able to enter into the spiritual world. What is the quality? Mahat sevam dvoram ahori muktes tamo dvoram yositam sangi sangam. Mahantaste samachita, that is equal. Samachita prasanna, that is equal to all. It's like when Prabhupada visited Africa, the devotees there, they had so many programs, but the programs focused mainly on the Hindus, because there's a lot of Hindus in Africa, but they weren't making facility for the black people to take part in the different activities. So Prabhupada said, "What is this? You have to also invite them, open the doors, invite them." So Brahmananda was shocked, you know, because there's a lot of black people, and he didn't know what would happen. So because there were so many Hindus, he focused on the Hindus. So he went to the center there, and he opened the doors and invited everybody in. And within just like a half hour, the whole hall packed up with black people. And they were all chanting and dancing. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And some of the Hindus went there and they were amazed. They were shocked to see it. And Prabhupada went there and he was so happy. He was in ecstasy seeing these people chant. Because he wasn't seeing the body. He was seeing the soul. These fortunate souls are again getting the chance to hear the names of Krishna. So Prabhupada was completely transcendental to this material existence. He just saw everybody's soul. Just like one time, a devotee brought somebody who was just coming around to Krishna consciousness, and he was a very heavy set person. He weighed about 400 pounds, which is how many kilos? That's about, I don't know, 200 kilos or something like that. Very big. So the devotee said to the Prabhupada, "He's a pretty big boy, eh, Prabhupada?" He said, "He's no bigger than you. You're seeing the body. I'm seeing the soul." The devotee said, "Oh." Kind of embarrassed. He was a little embarrassed. Because Prabhupada, he only sees the soul. The super soul. He's completely aloof from this material body. Samachitta prashanta, and he is peaceful. The devotee is peaceful. Why? Krishna bhakta nishkama atta eva shanta bhukti mukti siddhikami sakaliya shanta. Why? Because they have no other desire than to please Krishna. Therefore they're peaceful. No anxiety. Vaikuntha. No problem. But people who have bhukti, mukti, siddhikami, sakaliya, ashanta, people who have so many material desires, they're ashanta. They cannot be peaceful because so many desires. People are feverish with desire. They're burning with material desires. Just like they call it it's like Hollywood, they call it Tinseltown. You know, because it's a place where it's just a big illusion. You know? It's a big illusion. It's illusory land where people are so feverish to try to enjoy this world. I remember one time I was distributing books in one place. I had a book table. And this one person came to the table, and I mentioned that I'm a monk and we're distributing these literatures, and the person So as a monk, what vows do you practice? So I said, well, no gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex. And this person looked at me and said, you poor boy. I was 42 at that time. It was kind of like a compliment also. So they can't imagine having this passion to enjoy in this world. People are so feverish trying to enjoy material sense gratification. They can't imagine not having this fever, this materialistic burning desire to enjoy in this world. Just inconceivable. But it's so nice. These are the regulative principles of freedom. If we could not only grossly follow these, if we could subtly follow these principles, completely free of material desires, so nice. I was reading in the Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada says in a purport that if you clap your hands before the deities, then sinful desires, they fly away like birds out of a tree. So I always like to clap my hands before the deities. So many desires are there, so they'll fly away. What to speak if we dance? I was listening to a lecture by Radhanath Swami. He said, when we dance before the deity, our soul is also dancing. But when people are dancing in the discotheque or the ballroom dances, the soul is crying. Because it's just more material bondage, continuing their material existence by such dancing like monkeys. So to dance before the deity, this is the best way to dance. Just like I was just in Australia, there was one person, he was on a tour, and he was a dancer. He was doing a tour of Australia from Europe. He was a very famous dancer. But when he saw the devotees dancing in Hari Nam, he became inspired. And then he got a book from them. And he read the book, and he was appreciating the knowledge. So he gave up his monkey dance and became a devotee, dancing for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the best dance. The Swami step. Dancing for the pleasure of Krishna. So, Mahantaste samachita prasanta vimanyava surda saravoye. Friend to all living entities. Just like Prabhupada, when he visited, one time he was at the Bhaktivedanta Manor, you know, there in England, George Harrison donated. So Prabhupada, he used to go on these japa walks through we have a nice property there. So Prabhupada would go through the little forest there, and he would chant japa. So the day that he was leaving, he was in a car, and he's driving away, and he told the devotee to stop. And he got out, and he was walking through the forest, and he was touching the leaves. And it was like, the devotee said, he was like, he was going around, he was saying goodbye to all the entities that he had seen. And while he was walking, doing his japa through the forest there. And the devotees are just like, wow, this Prabhupada is not of this world. He's just seeing the soul. Another time a devotee found some insect, some unusual looking insect in Prabhupada's quarters. And the devotee said, I think it was Govinda Das, she said, Prabhupada, look at this insect. I've never seen such an insect before. And Prabhupada came and he was looking at it. And we told Govindi, okay, now chant to it. So she started chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. So Prabhupada, she's seeing it as an insect. And Prabhupada's seeing it, so chant to the soul, chant to the soul. Prabhupada was completely absorbed in Krishna and helping all living entities. Another time a devotee was with Prabhupada in his quarters. And Prabhupada said, we should be so absorbed in spreading Krishna consciousness that we should be thinking how to make this ant Krishna conscious. And the devotee was like, wow, that's amazing. Prabhupada was just so absorbed in trying to please Krishna. So somehow we have to imbibe this mood of seeing everyone as part of Krishna. And when we're able to see like that, we'll see everybody as our friend. You know? It's like book distribution is like that. You go out on book distribution and eventually sometimes you get a glimpse of this. You know, you see everybody as part of Krishna. And you start thinking, well, this person that I'm speaking to could have been a friend of mine in the spiritual world. You know? Such a nice mentality to have. Because everybody is part of Krishna. You know? Like Prabhupada said, that I'm coming to help you forget what you've, or to help you remember what you've forgotten. So everybody is part and parcel of Krishna. When we go out preaching, we should see that actually the soul was with Krishna at one time. Eternal servant of Krishna. An old friend. Approach them like that. These are my old friends. When we go on Harinam, when we go on college preaching, we should see like that. These are our old friends from the spiritual world. Such a nice consciousness to have. Then you cross over all the false ego and all the contamination. You know, you kind of penetrate through all the illusion. Just go to the soul. Just go to the super soul. So, the devotee, when he goes out preaching, he's just no fear. Because he has Krishna. It's like Prabhupada used to say that. He gave one example. He said, just like he said, I was going traveling somewhere with my little son. And so I gave my ticket to the person that accepts the ticket. And then the person that accepts the ticket, he went to the little child. The child was about 6 years old. And he said, and where is your ticket? So the child was scared. So much. And then he just grabbed Prabhupada's leg and took shelter of Prabhupada. Prabhupada gave that example that this is how we take shelter of Krishna. There's some difficulty, then we take shelter of Krishna. Yeah. We have to give up this shelter of Maya. So many people are taking shelter of Maya, of illusion. When there's some difficulty, what do? There's some problem, they take shelter of intoxication. Alcohol, or something like this. But we should take shelter of Krishna. We should give up this shelter of Maya. It's like there was an example of this in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Amazing example of one, a saintly person. He was visiting one kingdom. So as you all know, in the days of yore, whenever a saint would visit a kingdom, then the king would be there to greet him. And he would have him sit on his throne. Yeah. And he would receive instruction from the saintly person. Such a nice culture. Huh? Such a wonderful culture. Now if the saintly people go to the prime minister or the president's, they won't even be able to get in the door. Won't even just go away. So this saint, he went there and he was instructing the king. So the king asked him a question. He said, why is it that it's so difficult to get out of Maya? You have to sell a Bhagavad Gita today. That's the rule. Anybody's cell phone goes off, you have to go out and you have to sell a Bhagavad Gita to somebody. Okay, that's the rule. Okay? So anyway, so this king was asking him this question. How is it possible to overcome this Maya? So this saintly person was a very saintly person. So he got off the throne and he went to the pillar there in the palace and he grabbed the pillar and he started screaming, "Let me go! Let me go! Let me go!" And the king is thinking, "My goodness, what kind of instruction is this?" So then he went and he sat down again on the throne. And he said, "This is your situation. You're praying for freedom from Maya, but at the same time you're embracing Maya. You want freedom from Maya, but at the same time you're embracing Maya. So you have to stop embracing Maya. And the way you stop embracing Maya is that you have to take shelter of Krishna completely. You have to read Bhagavad Gita. You have to read Srimad Bhagavatam. You have to hear, you have to chant the names of Krishna. In this way you'll become free of Maya. Otherwise, not possible. Not possible." Yeah. Krishna is the best shelter. Yeah. The best friend of all living entities is Krishna. He only wants to see our welfare. Yeah. And therefore he comes himself. Yada yada hi dharmasya glani bhavati bharata. He comes to spread religious principles. So we have to take advantage of this. Keep all our attention on Krishna. As soon as we turn our back from Krishna, then there's Maya. Just like if you're facing the sun, then you're in the light of the sun. But as soon as you turn, then you're in the shadow. So that's Maya. Maya is the shadow. Vritirtam yat tiyeta na pritiyet machapani. Whatever appears to have value in this world, but has no connection to me, know that to be my illusory energy, or that reflection which appears in darkness. It's like you may be in a room, and you see some reflection, and you think, "Oh, what is that?" It might be some fear, "What is that?" But it's just a reflection of reality. So this whole material world is just a reflection of the spiritual world. It's just a shadow. But it's not reality. The reality is there in the spiritual world. Devotional service. In the spiritual world, that's what everybody is doing, is devotional service. Everybody is just absorbed in serving Krishna. Here, people are absorbed in Maya. We're very fortunate. At least now we want out. We're kind of like the nature of the soul is that they're in the marginal energy. Sometimes St. Prabhupada gives the example of the beach. We have the beach here. So sometimes the water comes and covers some of the sand and it goes. So we're like that now. Sometimes we're thinking of Krishna, sometimes Maya. Just like every day we subtly bloop. We think of, we forget Krishna. Subtle blooping. Just maybe a short time, and then we'll remember Krishna again. So the purpose of this chanting of 16 rounds is to prepare us to always think of Krishna, to get us used to thinking of Krishna all the time. It's not that we chant our 16 rounds. Okay, I've done my remembering of Krishna today, and now I could just thinking of all kinds of nonsense. No, the purpose of chanting these 16 rounds is to train us to think of Krishna all day long. Not that now I've done my 16 rounds, I don't have to think of Krishna anymore. No. Or sometimes people, they're chanting their 16 rounds, and believe it or not, I've seen it, people are watching television and chanting their rounds. Or sometimes you'll see devotees, they're talking. One devotee's talking and the other one's chanting. Listening. He's listening to his friend talk and he's chanting. No. That's a no-no. Very offensive. It's like, imagine if you're talking to somebody and somebody else comes and they're talking to the same person that you're talking to and his attention is completely to the other person And like, oh, what happened? What is this? That would be very rude. Huh? So if we're chanting Hare Krishna and we're thinking of so many other things, then it's rude. Krishna doesn't appreciate it. Yeah, he doesn't appreciate it. So we have to be very attentive to this chanting, very attentive to hearing this message that's given to us throughout the Vedic literatures. And this way we'll become purified. On the other hand, if we don't want to serve the pure devotee, if we don't want to go through that transcendental door by service to the pure devotee, go back to the spiritual world, if we want to serve Maya, then we open the door to hell, to a hellish condition of life. So there's two doors there. We can choose. We could always choose. Service to the spiritual master or service to Maya. Service to Maya means we're going to suffer inconceivably. Service to the pure devotee means we'll experience unlimited joy, unlimited happiness. It's a little austere. People come to this world not to become a servant. They want to be the enjoyer. So now we've understood, actually, this is not our position. We're not the enjoyers, we're the servants. So we're trying to come out of that enjoying mentality to change to the servant mentality, become the servant of Krishna. This is the greatest, this is the highest position, actually. Even Lord Chaitanya, he comes to be a servant. When Lord Chaitanya, after he had performed his educational pastimes, where he was a scholar, and went to, where was it? Where did he go to meet his guru? Huh? Not Prayag. Was it Prayag? No. Gaya. Yeah, Gaya. So after, when he came back, he was transformed. He was transformed. Now his pastime was, now I'm a bhakta. So he was actually washing devotees' clothes. Just like here, the bhaktas, the senior devotees come. The bhaktas here, they wash the senior devotees' clothes and they're cooking for them and getting fruit for them, like that. So Lord Chaitanya, he was doing these things. He was a humble servant of the senior Vaishnavas, washing clothes and getting things for them, and it's there in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So Lord Chaitanya, he came here to teach how to be a perfect servant. As the role of a devotee. So this is, Krishna is so kind that he comes and shows us how to be a devotee. He would go out and he would chant Hari Nam. And he would preach. So he was the best example of a servant. And one time he was cooking and his guru came. And there was only enough there for Lord Chaitanya. But he told his guru, here, you take. He said, no, we'll share it. No, you take. I'll cook again. No problem. So he was... greatest servant, very pure. Of course, who can be pure than Bhagavan? But he is so kind that he comes and he shows us how to be a servant. So we're so fortunate that there's so many wonderful devotees in our society. We have this example of Lord Chaitanya. We have the instructions given to us by Krishna. We're so fortunate. We cannot imagine how fortunate we are. We should take advantage of this and try with our utmost sincerity to become pure. All it takes to become a pure devotee is all we have. Give everything we have. Don't hold back. If we hold back anything, just like sometimes people come and give donations. So if a multi-billionaire comes and gives a crore of rupees to the deities, we'll think, oh, that is so wonderful. That's fantastic. We'll be able to use this money in so many ways. We're thinking, oh, this person is so pious, so wonderful. But in the bank, he has thousands of crores. So Krishna, he sees that. Some other person may come and give 5 rupees, put it in the hundi here. And that's all the person has. And we may think, it's only 5 rupees. But Krishna sees he's given everything. So Krishna looks at that person with greater gratitude. You know? This person's given everything to Krishna. So Krishna is not only looking at what we give, but he's saying, what's he holding back? So we have to give everything to Krishna. Why? Because everything belongs to Krishna. We're all part of Krishna. We're meant to give everything back to Him. Just like sometimes people are proud, I'm so renounced, I'm a sannyasi now, I've given up my this, I've given up that, I've given up that. But actually renunciation just means understanding that everything belongs to Krishna. That I'm just giving back what I thought was mine. I'm not a thief anymore. Right? So this is real renunciation. Just understanding the reality that everything belongs to Krishna. That nothing is mine. Nothing was ever mine. It was an illusion that anything was ever mine. So, thank you very much. Any question or comment? There's 2 hands back here. Today's a fast morning, so we'll just do a little more sadhana here. Right now. Yes, whoever has the microphone, please.
Prabhu, you were saying about...
Put your microphone close, very close, yeah.
You're saying about the spiritual world and the heavenly planets. And you're saying it's very opulent in the heavenly planets, but maybe not so opulent in the spiritual world. So how come is that? If the spiritual world is where Krishna lives, wouldn't it be the most opulent?
Well, it's the most opulent, but not from what we would see. It's like Krishna, he lives in the village.
Yeah.
Vrindavan. Now, some people may not think that's so opulent to live in a village.
Uh-huh.
But the trees in this village are kapalvriksha trees. And the pebbles, and these are Chintamani gems. Yeah? Wish-fulfilling stones and trees. So from our eyeball view, it may not look very opulent. But actually, it's the most opulent. You won't find these in the heavenly planets. There's no kapalvriksha trees, there's no Chintamani gens, there's no pure Vaishnavas. So this is actually the greatest opulence, is just to be in the association of completely selfless devotees of Krishna. You know, just like this temple. Everybody comes to this temple. Why? You know, it's a nice temple, but mainly to see the devotees, because the devotees are so nice here. If there was no devotees here, people wouldn't be so attracted. Yeah. People are coming here because the wonderful mood, the opulence of the consciousness. Yeah. It's great opulence to have nice consciousness, isn't it? Yeah. Of course, devotees would still come to see the deities. But there's so many temples, like in America now, unfortunately, there's more. There's some temples where there's more deities in the temple than devotees. It's very sad. Prabhupada said, this is my greatest fear. That when I leave, you'll think that, Bhaktivedanta Swami has left a burden. The deities. He said, this is my greatest fear. and now this fear has become manifest, then the deities are not being taken care of as nicely as they were when Prabhupada was here. So, you're doing such nice deity worship here. The test will be the future. Is that okay?
Yes. I was wondering if also Krishna plays with the cowherd boys in one section, and in the other section of the spiritual world, he's there with in his palace and has all that opulence around him with his wives and his family and everything. So is that true? That there's two parts?
Well, Goloka Vrindavan, yeah. My understanding, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, Goloka Vrindavan consists of Vrindavan and then also Chaitanya Lila. And then there's other planets that are Dwarka, Mathura. Is that correct? Anybody want to? Is that right? It's a little esoteric subject matter that we don't hear too much about, but I think that's my understanding. Now, there are some other hands back there to your left.
Sometimes, 好像批评要有奉献者做服务，批评他人好像就嫉妒。嫉妒，那有的时候批评呢是好像有的人是想帮助他，有的批评是嫉妒。那怎么分清是嫉妒的批评还是帮助想帮助这个奉献者的批评，好意的批评呢？你好吗？
So sometimes we are doing devotional service and we tend to make mistakes at sometimes, but other devotees will tend to criticize us. But Srila Prabhupada said we should not criticize others, otherwise we are doing fault finding. So, but at other times we also find that this kind of, some kind of criticism is constructive.
Yeah.
So how should we distinguish which is criticizing the fault finding part and which is the constructive criticism?
Oh, very good question.
Yeah.
So the person who's trying to correct, they have to kind of look within, be a little introspective, whether I'm doing this for the person's benefit, or am I doing it just to overlord the person, just to make myself look superior. It's a very subtle thing. It's a very subtle thing. You know, what is ordinary criticism and what is constructive criticism? So it's something that we had to be introspective with on our side. Yeah. That was the nice quality of Srila Prabhupada. He would criticize people. He would call people you mudha, fool, and they would love it. Just like Dr. Patel in Bombay. Here in Bombay, they'd go on a walk and Prabhupada would call him, "You are a mudha, you're a fool." And he would laugh. You know? He would like, now, generally, you call someone a fool, I'm like, I mean, that's heavy, you know. Especially someone who's a doctor. You know? But he relished it. So Prabhupada had this purity where he can criticize people, even scientists in the West. In Los Angeles, he was speaking to one scientist, and he was expressing his materialistic viewpoint. And Prabhupada said, "Actually, you're a fool." And the guy smiled, yeah, because Prabhupada had this pure heart. You know, he could just see that he wasn't saying that specifically to him, but just to his mentality. He could understand that Prabhupada was kind. But he was just saying this about his mentality. He caught that. So purity is the force in preaching and in criticizing. If we do it in a pure way, then they will benefit. So you judge by the results. And like I was saying when I was in Pune, the same question came up. And here in Chaupati, you have a nice system called the Of course, you don't, may not have it in China. You don't have this counselor system. But it's a very nice system. If someone sees something that someone else is doing that's not proper, then you go to the counselor and say, "Well, I saw this. Maybe can you mention this to your to the person that you're counseling?" Nice, very nice program. So you don't have to do the dirty stuff. You know, the counselor does the dirty stuff. Of course, the counselors, you know, they're in that position because Maharaj saw their purity. So they don't do it in a malicious way. They don't criticize in a malicious way. They're doing it for the benefit of the person that they're counseling. So it's a very nice system that I believe it's going on around the world now. Yeah, very nice system. You're very fortunate. Yeah. I wish we had that at my temple. At the temple that I reside, not my temple. Is there any other question? Comment? Is that okay?
Gurudev, 你好。那个我们中国大陆大连有一个庙宇，这个庙宇呢是刚建成，但是呢我们是在服务庙宇过程中，我们很多都没有经过，就是是不是在也在冒犯服务那个神像，是 Radha Krishna 神像，是一个很大的庙，但是呢我们没有做什么仪式，但是这种庙呢我们怎么能去服务，请您给建议。
It's interesting to hear a question in Chinese, isn't it?
听汉语的问题很有意思。So he's trying to say there is a temple in one city in China, but it's not open just for the devotees. And they have Radha Krishna deities there, but the devotees have not got proper training in the deity worship, and they have not undergone any ceremony yet. So she's a bit concerned if we are doing some offensive worship or something. So could you please give us some instructions in this regard?
Uh-huh. Well, when Prabhupada went to Australia the first time, he brought deities there. And there were no brahmanas. So Prabhupada, when he was leaving, he prayed to Krishna, please forgive them for any offense. They're new, please tolerate. He had that praying to the deities like that. So Krishna, he doesn't accept offense. If you're sincere, if you're sincerely trying, and you may not know the exact thing to do, but the offense is when you know what to do and you don't do it. That's when there's offenses. So I suggest that while you're in India, that you take some guidance from pujaris at different temples that you visit so that you know what to do. So this is an opportunity for you to learn how to do the right thing. And if you don't take this opportunity, then that may be offensive. Because Krishna's given you this opportunity. You know, here you are in India, so many nice pujaris doing service to the deity. So this is your opportunity to learn how to do the right thing. Okay?
Thank you.
Zai qian. Those are the only words I know in Chinese. Okay? Anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna.